You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast episode 511.
With rainbow sprinkles.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Oh, hello.
Another Saturday morning recording for us. We've been doing a bunch of these lately.
I kind of like it. Like, I really feel alive on Saturday mornings.
I think you like it a little too much, because you texted me yesterday saying, so 7 a.m. tomorrow?
You did. I thought I had other stuff going on today, Kevin, but then I realized, wait, I have no life.
7 a.m. I mean, I was going to do it. I was okay, 7 a.m.
Oh, no.
It was a shockingly early time to suggest to record a podcast.
You're too cooperative for your own good, Kevin. Yeah.
I really am.
Thank you for letting me come to my senses on that one.
I don't think the Zoom call would have worked. Like, there would have been a test pattern on Zoom when we opened it up.
I wish I could say I would have been sitting there with a bowl of cereal, but I was such a lazy kid that I didn't even pour myself a bowl of cereal for Saturday morning cartoons. I just went and got a box of saltines.
Yeah, that was my Saturday morning when I was a kid. I'd be up so early that I would be watching the test pattern, waiting for television to start. At 5 a.m. or whatever.
I can almost taste the saltines in my mouth again. I ate so many of them waiting for the shows to come on.
You were a very weird kid, I think we've established. Anyway, you backed off your 7 a.m. thing, and we've pushed back to a more reasonable 10 a.m. start. So we're in the 10 o'clock hour, Saturday morning. Here we go. Not a lot of stuff planned today. We're just going to goof around, relax, have a silly little Flopcast. So let's just do this, Cornflake. How about starting with National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
If for no other reason besides the need to celebrate the fearless leaders of the ESO network, a National Whatever Day nod is needed toward February 22nd, Kevin, which is, and I am not making this up, For the Love of Mike Day.
All right. There are a lot of mics around here.
You bet there are. And I wish I could say that For the Love of Mike Day exists because of our dear Mikes and Michaels on ESO. But yep. For the Love of Mike.
Did this start with Michael Steele, bassist from the Bangles?
For the Love of Mike was a silent film from the 1920s.
Oh.
How about I let you guess what it was about?
Am I supposed to think of a famous Michael from the 1920s?
No. I wondered if you could guess what the plot of For the Love of Mike was.
What's the year? 1925?
I think it was 1927.
So it's the 1920s. It's the Roaring Twenties. It's the Prohibition era. So clearly Michael was... He loved booze, right? Illegal booze. This was like the password, the secret word, the secret knock. Then they let you into the speakeasy.
I think there's a vital detail I should have shared with you before making you guess, Kevin, because in this movie, Mike is a baby. Now, does that change your answer at all?
It does not change my answer. This is a booze-obsessed baby in the Roaring Twenties. He'd sneak into the speakeasy. They dressed him up like a flapper. He would dance the Charleston. Then there was a raid, right? Everybody has to hide, run and hide from Elliot Ness. I'm close, right? I'm very close.
Well,
alcoholic baby is the theme of this movie.
Alcoholic baby. For the Love of Mike is essentially the 1920s version of Three Men and a Baby.
Oh, no.
It is a lost film, and that's probably a good thing. I heard the movie was an absolute flop.
So there's a day named after a movie that doesn't exist anymore that nobody liked at the time.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Okay.
I love National Whatever Day, but I figured, other than celebrating this very, very strange movie about an alcoholic baby with three dads,
yeah.
I thought, what mics should we celebrate? And let me ask you first, who would you pick to celebrate For the Love of Mike Day?
All right, I'll go with a Canadian wrestler, Iron Mike Sharp.
Oh, wow.
Did I win? Was that the correct answer?
I didn't think it's a pretty open-ended question when it comes to mics, Kevin, because there's lots of them. But this is interesting. I also went Canadian mic here because I picked Mike Myers.
All right. Happy birthday, mics everywhere. It's not their birthdays. Is it? I'm so confused. All right. Let's get out of this whatever day. But we've got whatever day follow-up.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Because last week's whatever day was about former NFL quarterback and current winemaker Drew Bledsoe.
Yes.
And then you told me that you had ordered Drew Bledsoe wine to be shipped here to Chickentown Studios. And then it really happened. A couple days ago, it showed up. I got a box of wine. There's two bottles. Yeah, it actually showed up here. You didn't just make that up for the podcast. You really did it.
Yeah, well, I try to make these whatever days festive, and now you have Bledsoe booze.
I have not opened the bottle, but I have it here.
And you've managed to keep the chickens out of them. I'm impressed. It's
untouched. So yeah, we got a couple of bottles here. Maybe we'll pop one open sometime relatively soon, but then we'll save the other one for the day, you know, 8 to 10 years from now when you're able to come back down here to the studio again. Then we'll crack one open.
I'm excited for that.
We'll pour some wine, and then we're going to watch the Kenny Rogers movie Six Pack.
That's so perfect. So, yeah, you got them.
Yeah.
And was there anything that came with it?
Yeah, funny you should ask. There was a note along with the bottles. It's handwritten. I'm going to assume Drew Bledsoe himself wrote out this note. That's a safe assumption, right? He has nothing else to do these days.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Is this like super old-fashioned winemaking? Like he takes his shoes off and gets inside that big tub and squishes the grapes? Is that how they work?
I sure hope so.
All right, I might not actually drink this because that's gross. But the note says, this wine is made with earth fruit.
Oh, that's perfect.
They slipped a Robillard from Mars reference into this wine delivery. I'm guessing you had a little something to do with that?
Me? I never think of like little detail-y things like that.
Does every bottle they send out include a Robillard quote? I like that.
Greetings, Earthlings. I'm Robillard. I'm from Mars, and I eat all kinds of candy bars. But what is this? Some earth fruit? It is good. It's better than good. It's yummy and not bad. Oh, wait till I tell the other Martians about this. By only eating candy bars, we don't know what we've missed.
Drew Bledsoe must be a Robillard fan. I'm certain of it.
All right. Well, the wine is really here. So thank you so much for shipping Drew Bledsoe wine to the studio. I'm drinking coffee right now. Not the wine, but someday.
I, too, am drinking coffee. But I'm drinking out of my crazy lobster lady mug today.
Yeah. Well, speaking of lobster lady or lobster adjacent, a little more follow-up from last week.
Yeah.
Because after we recorded last week, but we're still just hanging around talking, you know, because we have nothing else to do. I don't know if you remember this, but all of a sudden, you just gasped like you were shocked. And this is, cameras are off, you know, I'm just listening to you and I have no idea what happened. It sounded like something crazy happened over there in your recording studio.
I freaked out.
And then what it turned out happened was you have an aquarium in there with you because you're into fish and whatnot. And while we were talking after the show last week, you witnessed the birth of a shrimp because you were sending me photos.
I was stumped because I thought shrimp laid eggs and I was right. But what I was seeing was not making sense at all.
You thought that you had witnessed a live birth, like a scientific miracle. You thought that
tiny little shrimp comes bursting out, smaller than the teeniest, tiniest staple you've ever seen.
Now, this is a cherry shrimp, which is a little tiny kind of a shrimp, right? You have cherry shrimp there in your tank. And yeah, you thought that breaking all the laws of science, you thought you'd witnessed not an egg hatching, but the live birth of a shrimp.
And you figure it out. I was like, wait, are cherry shrimp special in a way that I didn't realize?
We were very confused. We started Googling shrimp birth. So the shrimp has eggs, this cherry shrimp, but the egg will be attached to the belly of the mother shrimp. So that's what happened was there was an egg. You watched the new shrimp hatch out of an egg, but the egg was attached to the to the adult shrimp at the time.
It came flying out. It's like, whee!
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but we named the new baby shrimp last week.
Yes, we did.
Do you remember the shrimp's name?
I already forget.
That's okay, because I remember. It was connected to the show.
Oh, right.
Last week, we were talking about the PSA, Let's Call It Quits, starring the cast of Happy Days, but they're living in the Brady Bunch house.
Oh, yeah.
Anti-smoking PSA. And Tom Bosley's secretary in the PSA, played by an actress named Candrice Rielson, I think. But we looked her up, and in that same year, in 1974, she also starred in a movie called Mama's Dirty Girls.
And we named the baby shrimp Mama's Dirty Girl.
At my request, I was like, Cornflake, do me a favor, could you possibly name your new shrimp Mama's Dirty Girl?
And ever since then, I have been looking all around the tank for Mama's Dirty Girl to see if I could figure out where she ended up. There's lots of little hiding places in the castle.
Sure.
But I am always on the lookout now for Mama's Dirty Girl.
All right. What a scene, anyway. Over there in your fish tank. You got shrimp. I have wine.
Everybody's happy.
It's like we're planning a cocktail party or something.
It does sound that way now, doesn't it?
But believe me, we're not. Yeah, really, there's been nothing else going on around here. Got some TV in. Have you been watching TV? What's going on? You got any TV stuff to report?
Yay!
You watch all those British game shows all the time. With you, it's just British game shows.
No, it's also Norwegian game shows now. Thank goodness for subtitles.
Yes, Norwegian game shows.
But I also am very, very, very guilty of having a new kind of guilty pleasure that I watch on Netflix. I just start and then very quickly finished Bridgerton season one.
Okay, I've heard of that. I don't know anything about it.
It's got Nicola Coughlan in it, who's also in Derry Girls.
Oh, who is she in Derry Girls?
She plays Claire in Derry Girls.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Because there's a third and final season coming, right?
Yes, this year there will be a third. Man, that's a great show.
It really is.
I know we've mentioned it on the show before, but in case anybody missed it or has not watched it yet, Derry Girls, it's on Netflix. Yeah, there's 2 6-episode seasons, so you can just devour the whole thing really quickly. It's Catholic schoolgirls in Ireland in the 90s, and it's fantastic.
Oh, we're celebrating For the Love of Mike Day and their sister Michael.
Sure. There's a nun. Yeah, she's very funny. Anyway, so one of the Derry girls is also in Bridgerton, which you just watched.
And it's interesting.
I don't even know what it is. Is it funny? Is it weird?
No, it's more of a drama than anything.
Oh,
it's,
no,
it's
a, forget it.
Yeah. But part of the fun of watching it is to see all the costumes from upper society.
All right. So not for me, then.
No, not at all.
All right. I will definitely skip Bridgerton.
You can. You can comfortably. And I'm making my way through Stranger Things as well. So.
Still working on Stranger Things. Yes, good.
I am. Eleven's starting to do some really cool stuff.
We shall discuss Stranger Things on some future episode, I'm sure. Oh, the Boba Fett show just wrapped up?
Just finished that up, yeah.
Did you watch Boba Fett?
I sure did watch Book of Boba Fett.
Because I know you were a Mandalorian viewer with Baby Yoda and whatnot, and this is essentially the same show. This was like Baby Yoda season 3.
Yeah, it was almost like a parallel that eventually joined up in a weird way.
Yeah, it all connects back in together. It's one big series, essentially. But yeah, I certainly enjoyed that. Nice job, all you Boba Fett people. Peacemaker just ended. I don't think you're watching Peacemaker, are you?
Mm-mm.
Peacemaker, very violent, so I would say maybe not for you. It's great. Peacemaker is a DC Comics series, kind of spun out of the last Suicide Squad movie. But it's James Gunn wrote the whole thing and directed most of it. And this is that's the Guardians of the Galaxy guy.
James Gunn, yeah, I thought I recognized that name.
Yeah, that guy, because he made the movie, Suicide Squad movie, and then did this follow-up series. So it's great. And so, I mean, like, DC finally figured out how to get this right, and that's by just poach Marvel's guy.
Right.
Yeah, they went over, all right, get the Guardians of the Galaxy guy, get him over here to make Suicide Squad and Peacemaker. What else am I staring at the stupid TV for lately? Do you know Pen 15?
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Yeah, I think you'd like this. And this is, I'm kind of late to the game on this. This is from a couple of years ago. Pen 15, that's PEN15. Do you know the concept? Have you heard this?
I'm not overly familiar with it, but it seems like a couple of girls in high school.
It's a couple of girls in high school, yeah. But the thing is, these two girls are played by women in their early 30s.
Right.
But they're playing, like, versions of themselves in high school, or junior high, even, like, 7th grade. So they're supposed to be 13 years old. The rest of the cast, all their classmates, are kids that actual age.
Oh.
So it's these 30-year-old women in a classroom surrounded by 13-year-old kids. But the whole thing is just played straight.
Huh.
Which seems crazy.
It sounds like it could be hilarious or really, really bad.
It's very, very funny and very well done. And these two ladies, Anna and Maya, they pull it off. I mean, it looks absurd in scenes. You know, they tend to be taller than the other kids around them and obviously look quite a bit older. So it's really goofy and crazy, but it works. I was thinking how if you flip the genders, this show would not work. I don't think you could make a show with like 30-year-old men.
No. No, you couldn't.
Somehow with women it works. You can get away with it. And it's very funny, very sweet. I've only seen the first season. There's 3 seasons, I believe. So we're still in the middle of that. Check it out. I think you might like Pen 15. It's really crazy.
Huh. That could be good.
Okay, enough TV talk anyway, because Cornflake, I believe you saw another online concert this week to report on. What you got?
Oh, I did. I got to see Jim's Big Ego. And the show, it wasn't just an online show. It was also an in-person show at Club Passim. And I got virtual tickets.
Yeah, Club Passim, for the Boston area people. That's our local folk club in these parts. So give us quick highlights of this Jim's Big Ego show.
Well, I wondered, you know, a favorite feature of mine in a Jim's Big Ego show, and this is a fan favorite sort of thing. You know how he does napkin poetry, right?
Yeah, people in the audience write little phrases or whatever, and then they make songs out of them.
So he announced at the beginning of the show that there would be napkin poetry. And for those of us watching from home, he wanted us to tweet our napkin poetry.
Sure.
I've not been on Twitter for 5 years, Kevin. Twitter's like, there's a suspicious login on on your handle. And it's like, no, it's not suspicious. It's me trying to do napkin poetry. When I finally got to that point, I couldn't even think of what to write. So I asked Nick, because he was watching with me, and he suggested I put in bouncy, springy, danger noodle dog. And I thought, well, that's as random as anything. And I put it in. I'm listening to Jim read all the tweets and the napkin poetry that he's got into the song. Somebody commented on my tweet and it too became part of the song. And it's somebody that I don't even know. So the long and short of it, this is to say I haven't been on Twitter in 5 years. I'm not going to be there for much longer. If you want to go bug me at Twitter, you can check out at Flopcast Flake. Say hello before I vanish again.
Every half decade, check in with Cornflake on Twitter.
On Twitter.
All right, that's about enough of this, Cornflake. Please get us out of here.
Sure, sure. Flopcast.net is our website. That's where to catch us between shows. You can also go to facebook.com/flopcast. At Flopcast, that's the Twitter handle for the program. And we're on Instagram, the_flopcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating or a review. Make sure all the mics of the world know about this show. They're going to appreciate that we were celebrating them this week. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Every member of the Sponge Awareness Foundation is named Mike, by the way. So this will be a very exciting week for my band, you know. Thanks for a quick, goofy Saturday morning Flopcast, Cornflake. Everybody, as always, be safe, be kind, be silly, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies, Mike.
At the 42cast, we want to bring you everything. And that's why we've jam-packed the next few months with as much as we can. You not only get the same reviews, topics, and interviews that you did before, you also get screen reads, where we compare a movie to its source material, or role models, where we talk about tabletop gaming. It's never been a more exciting time to check out our show. It's your ultimate answer to fandom, geekiness, and everything, so why not check it out? We can be found on most podcasting platforms, and we are a proud member of the ESO Network.
Cornflake, this is the secret after show, of course. Hello.
Well, would you look at that? Secret after show time.
This happens practically every week, and nobody hears this part. There's nobody left except us, but you know what I thought we could do again? I've got this book. I know we did this once or twice on the show. I've got this giant book called Ranking the 80s. It contains a list of every top 40 song from the 1980s in some sort of order based on how popular the songs were. There's 4,168 songs on this list.
Whew.
I've got the supercomputer ready to go to give us a random number. Let's just see what song we pull up, and let's see if it's a song that we know and that we could discuss super quick. Ready to go?
Yeah, I can't believe you got the supercomputer running on a Saturday, but yeah, let's go.
Yeah, I feel like there's less of a draw on the power in the studio, so it's actually a little safer to use on Saturdays, I've found. Slightly less of a fire hazard than normal.
Well then, let's make the most of that.
Let's see what we got. The supercomputer has picked, oh, this is going to be a popular song. The supercomputer drew 143.
Interesting.
Song number 143, and again, this is out of over 4,000 songs that were on the charts in the 80s. 143 is... it's Shakedown by Bob Seger.
Oh, awesome. I'm sure you're thrilled about this.
That's a goofy song. That's from a movie, as I recall. Oh, it says it right here.
You're busted.
That's from Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Good times. I didn't know that was Bob Seger. I don't think I ever knew who sang that song.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't realize how popular a song that was. That's ranked 143 out of over 4,000 songs from the 80s.
You blacked it out in your mind, Kevin.
Beverly Hills Cop 2. I see that Harold Faltermeyer has a songwriting credit on this song as well. That's interesting, because that's the Axel F. guy.
Yeah, I think that's what made the song so good, if you ask me.
It's the guy that did, you know, the Axel F. Instrumental theme song for Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes.
I didn't realize he was also one of the writers of Shakedown. Performed by Bob Seger.
Well, now, like, the pace and the feel of the song makes sense, if you tell me that.
Have you seen Beverly Hills Cop 2?
No. Do I need to?
No!
Okay.
I have. I went to the Stadium Theater in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, for a double feature of Beverly Hills Cop 2 and Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise.
Nice.
Was it, though?
No.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.